Welcome to the Porcher and Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts, Church. Porch is here to restore the priesthood of the believer, that world-shaking influence the early church had, and we're going to do that by looking at things, maybe making you uncomfortable, not filtered down, not watered down, examining the Book of Acts, the Word, the red letter basics, to find the church the Lord intended, not the one that man created. We believe the fire still falls, the church age is still in effect, the day of Pentecost continues. If you'd like to reach us, go to onsolomonsporch.org. That's where you'll get updates and news and links. Working on revamping that, have been unable to work on that this week. Got some other things going on. But if you have any questions, you can use the contact button and we will respond. If you'd like to support Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com to do that. We appreciate your support and encouragement. And we appreciate our Blog Talk listeners, iTunes listeners, and iHeart Radio listeners. Subscribe to the Spreaker app and you will get updates as to when we are broadcasting or a new show has been posted. Facebook and Twitter still has pages for Firefall Talk Radio. Working on the changes, but as I said, there's some other things going on that I'm doing right now that have kept me from doing that. But the format is changing. Things will be revamped. Just bear with me as I do that. I put out a request for a prayer team for the porch to help with the praise reports and prayer requests, and did get one response. I'm going to be reaching out to some people and just asking if you would do it. 74 years ago today, 160,000 Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy for what became known as D-Day. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded to secure that beach and a turning point in World War II. Families and loved ones of those who died and those who survived, they relive this every year. So keep them in your prayers. We've talked about signs of the times, and I got to cover this before we get into the lesson. Hawaiian Kilauea volcano is still flowing. It's more active than ever before. Lava can be seen bubbling up, producing fountains beyond 100 feet into the air. It's entered its 34th day of continuous eruption. Hundreds of homes destroyed. A 400-year-old lake, the Green Lake, gone within hours as lava flowed into it and the water evaporated. Hawaii has been rocked by 52 earthquakes in 24 hours. This past weekend, they had a 5.5 earthquake on the Richter scale that sent an ash plume 8,000 feet into the air. Between May 4th and June 4th, 10,000 earthquakes have shaken the Big Island, according to the USGS. Latest aerial drone footage of the volcano is revealing dramatic changes to the top and the main craters. Alarming new cracks and fault lines being seen. The crater is collapsing. They believe that this will clog up the crater so that when it blows, it'll be an explosive expanding debris spewing vent. Please keep Hawaii and the people of Hawaii in your prayers, but now we have to add another one to that. Volcán de Fuego, the volcano of fire, Guatemala. It's a very typical volcano. Unlike Kilauea, which is more of a spread out crater, Fuego volcano is 12,346 feet tall. And when it exploded, ash was blown 47,000 feet into the air. Hot gas, a pyroclastic flow, poured down the mountainside at 50 miles an hour. A flash flood of rock and ash covered the nearby villages. 75 people are dead. 200 people are missing. This blast of rapid flow of gas and volcanic debris quickly enveloped homes, killing those inside. Entire households wiped out. Entire family lines wiped out. There are images that I've posted on my Facebook page, and they're online as well, of bodies frozen in place, covered in ash, very much like Pompeii. Folks, we're living in very scary times. You can ignore it and say that this is normal, nothing to be worried about, but I'm telling you to watch and pray. Which is why I praise the Lord for what I have, my home, my family, everything, my furry kids, all that he's done for us, the Psalm 91 covering that he's given us for this ministry, to be able to be here with you to talk about this and share with you what he's showing me in the Word, the dreams and the visions, that we can praise him and believe in his Word and his promises, his healing virtues, his protection, his authority. Everything is there for us. We are a new creation and we are living in prophetic times. So I praise him for that. I praise him for being able to do this with you here in America. I praise him for the signs that he's showing us that I believe he's getting ready to return. The blessed hope is what we hold on to. And so I'm praying. I'm praying for these people in Guatemala, for the people on the Big Island of Hawaii. If these things go off, it's going to affect the entire world. So let's get prayed up. Let's get ready. Let's begin to pray for one another, for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, people that are victims of injustice. Our legal system, our political system, every man-made system all the way down to the churches is flawed and, in my opinion, corrupt. Our only hope is for the Lord to come back. But that doesn't mean we have to sit back and do nothing and cry, oh, woe is me. No, we can pray. We can pray to be able to bless one another, and that takes him blessing us, not for $54 million jets or 35,000 square foot homes. We need to take care of one another, and this is the time for the remnant to rise up, wake up, answer the call to action. People are sick. They need somebody to lay hands on them and pray for them. They need somebody to show them the signs of the Messiah. So I'm believing in that. I'm believing for an open conduit of his blessings. And I'm also finally asking for traveling mercies for my son and daughter-in-law as they head to Portugal on their honeymoon. And dangerous times to be doing all this. Stacy in Fort Mitchell, she's thankful for her family, her furry kids, and all of the like-minded believers in her life. She's praying that we would endure. She has an unspoken prayer request for her mother, her little brother, and her marriage. The job that she applied for, still waiting on an answer. She got confused with another nurse, and so this straightening all that out, the other nurse did not qualify because her license was revoked. So we're believing right now in the name of Jesus that's taken care of. She's praying for her home in Fort Mitchell to sell. She's praying for all of you and your families, for me and my families, for SRT, and for her friend Kim, to have traveling mercies and also everything she needs. She says it's very end timesy out there. My spell check did not like that word timesy, Stacy, but I left it in. It's very end timesy. And she said, thanks for leaving the light on. Kim is getting ready to travel, but she blesses the Lord for being in her life, for the life that he's given her, for keeping his promises, for being filled with the Holy Spirit and just being able to praise him. She said, you did not give me what I wanted, but provided what I needed, and that keeps me humble. Says, I praise you for everything that's coming. I'm not afraid anymore because I know who saved my soul. Father, as long as I believe, I will talk about you and what you did in my life. I have to shine your light. I have to teach my children about you always. She's asking for protection and favor as they travel to Germany tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's a 10-hour flight. Be the baby's first flight, first time to Germany, her first time since the Lord cleaned her out and sobered her up. A lot of firsts. So please keep her and her family in your prayers. Keep her dog, Bruno. I'm not sure who's taking care of him. Keep him in your prayers and asking for protection over that. Porch families, for favor, for hope, patience, compassion, that we would be filled with his energy and shine his light. She's praying for healing in our bodies and our spirits and the blessing of our families. Please continue to pray for a child support case that she filed and two other claims that have been filed. Father, in the name of Jesus, the worldly system is one thing, but your system is another. Let it be done so in accordance with your name and your word. Said she doesn't know how much longer until the Lord comes back. Volcanoes, earthquakes, violence, racism, adultery, abuse, animal. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I sat here the other day crying out, just come, Lord Jesus. So she says, I love you, Father. Please help us endure and hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Well, Father, I come to you boldly. Sometimes annoyingly. I'm sure there are times that I may even be pushy. But I'm going to be the persistent widow. I'm going to be the person that cries out. I'm going to be the person that bangs on that door and believes. Because you're my Father, I'm your Son, we're your children. So right now, with everything going on in the world, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promises, Lord. Right now, we just believe and receive in accordance with your word, your Psalm 91 covering, that the armor of God would be upon us, the angels of heaven would be around us, the power of the Holy Spirit be within us, that the fruit of the Spirit would be on us and that we can offer it to others. Lord, we thank you for the cross, the empty tomb, the upper room. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We say, bless this time, bless this word, bless our lives. Let us be conduits of your blessings, to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, to tell them the truth, to spread the gospel, set the captives free. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to be your candles in this time, your lighthouses that draw the people home. So just keep us hidden under your wings, Father. We just thank you for that. We thank you for this time. In Yeshua's name, amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the manner presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we've been talking about choices and consequences. We started out by being reminded that in John 14 and 15 and 16, the Lord sent his Parakletos, his advocate, his Holy Spirit as his representative, that the Holy Spirit would teach us everything, would remind us of everything the Lord said, would remind us of him, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, that he comes from, proceeds from, literally emanates from the Father, and will testify to the Lord. Doesn't testify to denominations or man-made beliefs. He testifies to the truth because he is the Spirit of truth. Everything points back to the Lord. Everything glorifies the Father. And the Lord was able to do that because he went to the cross, was crucified, died, rose from the grave, ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit back. If he had not done that, he wouldn't have been able to send the Spirit back. But when he sent the Spirit back, he did so as a dispensation of many things, starting with the conviction of the world, conviction of its sin, the coming judgment, of the bringing God's righteousness, and the world in its sinful nature refused to believe in him. And that the judgment of the ruler of this world had begun. The final judgment we know will come. And then during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles. And he told them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can't do what he's asked you to do. You can't do what he says to do in the Bible without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, they're all gathered in the upper room. They're meeting together in one place, 120 people packed into the spot. They'd been there for 10 days. And suddenly on the day of Pentecost, comes a sound from heaven like a roaring, rushing wind, a windstorm. It literally fills the house and shakes it. And upon all these people fall flames or tongues of fire, and it settles on them and fills them with the Ruach HaKodesh. And they began to speak in a heavenly language, in a glossolalia, as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. It was the Holy Spirit speaking, because he had something to say. And they went out and they said it. They said it right there outside the upper room, and thousands of people got saved. And then they went to the Gate Beautiful and healed the man that was lame from his birth. And of course, the religious leaders, the priests and the elders, they didn't like that. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Religious leaders do not like when you upset their system. So they arrest Peter and John. They beat them and they free them. Tell them, don't talk about this Jesus of Nazareth, this Yeshua anymore. Well, they're not going to shut up. And they go back and they tell the people that have been praying, all the other believers, what happened. So they petition their congressmen, and they try to pass some laws. No, that's not what they did. They prayed. They cried out to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile prayers? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were united against Yeshua, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Everything you did was preordained, determined beforehand, according to your will. This is where, really, they're fired up. It's hot. I would love to have been in that room. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the word of God with boldness, and all believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt what they had was not their own, so they shared everything. The apostles testifying to the resurrection of the Adonai Yeshua, and a great blessing was upon them all. And nobody had any needs because they took care of everybody gathered in Jerusalem for Shavuot, for Pentecost, who would not leave now because they were seeing prophecy fulfilled. They were seeing Joel fulfilled. So they needed help. So people were selling land or houses or whatever they had, bringing money to the apostles to give to those in need. And one of the apostles named Barnabas, son of encouragement, he was from the tribe of Levi and the island of Cyprus. He sold the field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So this change in the system, this change in the world, this change in the spirit realm brought people together. They cared about one another. They had all things in common. They broke bread from house to house. People did not go hungry. They shared their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They praised God together, and therefore they had favor with all people. And because of that, the Lord added to his church daily people that were being saved. You want to know why we don't see this in the world right now? Because I don't believe the things we call church is of the Lord. If it was, we'd be saying this. See, having a community of goods to help one another was not uncommon amongst the Jews. They had the concept of community, but this was different. The feast is over. People are staying. Multitudes are staying. They need some help. They need places to stay. They need to eat. So their brothers and sisters in the Lord were helping them out. They weren't forced to do anything. They did it because they wanted to. But see, when the Lord said, you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. He bestowed upon them power, favor, grace, miracles, evangelism. But he also bestowed another great aspect, consequences for our actions. So we'll pick it back up where we started last week, Acts chapter 5. There was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, which means she was in on it, he kept the rest. Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished, and after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw she was dead, they carried her out, buried her beside her husband. And great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what happened. Ananias, whose word means the Lord is gracious, Sapphira means beautiful in the Aramaic. Maybe their parents hoped that grace and beauty would be their life, that by naming them that, they would live it out, but they didn't. They were disciples of this Jerusalem fellowship. They were a part of it. They'd been there. They'd seen it all, and yet Satan deceived them. Don't think you can't be deceived. Don't think you can't be fooled. He's good. I mean, he's really, really good. Got a third of the angels to give up on eternity and perfection to follow him. But the one thing that he did here that I believe the Lord's having me finish talking about tonight is, if you make a commitment to God, you better keep it. If you make a commitment for the kingdom, you better keep it. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. You voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. That was Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 23. Picks it up again in Ecclesiastes 5, starting with verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? I think part of the reason we have the mess we have today is that we have made vows to God, whether explicitly or implicitly, and have not kept our word. And there's a supernatural, spiritual, universal principle that if you speak it, it's been registered. It's been noted. The Holman Bible Dictionary said vows are a voluntary expression of devotion, usually fulfilled after some condition has been met. See, the vows in the Old Testament were conditional, meaning if God did this, then you would do that, or vice versa. The one making the religious vow proposed that if God did something, protection or victory, then he or she, when returned, would make some act of devotion, Hannah offering her son Samuel. But see, not all vows are conditional. Some are mandatory, like the Nazarite vow that Samson's parents made for him, out of devotion to God, with no request being made from God. Whether conditional or not, the emphasis on the Bible is keep the vow. A vow unfulfilled is worse than a vow never made. Vows must be voluntary. They can't be manipulated, or they shouldn't be. And they must be performed. If you make a vow, keep it. If you say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, then do X, Y, Z. Don't do X and Y and say, I can't do Z right now. Shouldn't have said it. In the almost 30 years I've been saved, and the, oh boy, how many years of ministry? Almost as much, slightly less. Can't tell you the number of people that have not kept their word. Can't tell you the number of people that have made very specific, explicit vows and then reneged on them. And the outcome for them was not good. I had somebody in particular who made a vow for me and my family and didn't keep it. One day the Lord said to me, this person is in bondage to you, release them. Called them up, reminded them. Of course, they had their excuses of why they never did what they said. Within 24 hours of releasing them, their business, which was floundering, turned around, began to prosper. Money began to flood in. Never heard from the person again. That's just the way it is in the kingdom. God will deal with it. But this issue of integrity has got to be addressed. Coach John Wooden, a very famous UCLA, Hall of Fame UCLA basketball coach, said this. Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. So here you have Ananias and Sapphira. They made a commitment. Maybe they wanted to be respected or admired like Barnabas was. Maybe they wanted to put on the show that sometimes people like to put on. But they decided, we're not going to give all this money. We're going to hold some of it back. It was their money. They had the right to do that. But whether by greed or desire to appear more philanthropic than they were, they disrespected the Holy Spirit. And it cost them their lives. And it wasn't about the money. It's not about what you give. It's the intent of your heart. If you look at the story about the widow with the two mites in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Yeshua sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all gave out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And I'm not telling you this to do this. I'm not telling you to give to me or to any. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm trying to point out is that we have lost our integrity and we have forgotten that our choices have consequences. He watched this woman, this widow, put in more out of her lack than all those rich people put in out of their abundance. The truth that he was showing them and showing us is that our Heavenly Father measures the motive and the intent, not the amount. So Peter had direct revelation knowledge through the Holy Spirit and confronted Ananias and Sapphira about their deceit, and they dropped dead at his feet. I wonder what would happen if that happened today. Would people recognize it as the Holy Spirit? Would they say, oh, that was the devil, or you're doing witchcraft? You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think we are prepared for the judgment that is coming to the house of the Lord. I don't think we're prepared for what's about to happen. We are in a free will arrangement with our Heavenly Father. But it's based upon integrity. You must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who is a cheerful giver. Don't be manipulated. If you're sitting in a pew or in a coliseum or in a place or at a sitting in front of a TV and they're using scripture to manipulate you to fund what they're doing, and you feel pulled, pressured, oppressed while you're doing it, that's not God. That's not Him. And you got to be careful, because you may, in the process of being manipulated, open a door to yourself, to the enemy. I was sharing this with a brother today. This is many years ago. I had a gentleman that I had hired to do some work for me. He was a private investigator. At the time I was hiring him, he was in some financial trouble. He was about to lose his office. He was behind on some things. I paid him a lot more than what the retainer was to help him out. When it came time for him to pay me back the difference, his wife, who controlled the checkbook for them and the ministry, was at church, got manipulated into a second offering by the wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, the pastor who was on the stage. And she gave away the rest of the money that he had set aside to pay me back, and he could never pay me back. Never did. He did call me up, did apologize, did repent, did explain to me what happened, but he never made it right. I'm not saying that this is what happened to him is because of that. I don't know, but I will tell you this. Not too long after his diabetes went into overdrive, he lost his leg and eventually lost his life. The enemy is going to take advantage of anything we do that opens the door or compromises up at us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Keep your word. Psalm 76:11, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. You know, I have a wonder, if we are supposed to be his children and examples to the world, how does it look to the world when we hear all these stories about corruption and deceit and people not keeping their word, bookkeepers embezzling? It doesn't look good. We have pastors begging for $54 million to buy a jet that travels 6,000 miles, and they have three other jets sitting in hangars somewhere while they sit in their 35,000-square-foot home. That's not a good witness. That's not a good look for us. Is it no wonder Acts 5:11 says, so a great fear came upon all the church and those who heard these things when Ananias and Sapphira fell? I believe we need that right now. I believe the church needs a reckoning. I believe we need the books to be checked by God and for people to be dealt with. The late Dr. S.D. Gordon, in one of his Quiet Talk series of books, wrote about Moses and the judgment that prevented him from entering the Promised Land. He described how in succeeding generations, Hebrew mothers told stories to the children before putting them to bed. The boys and girls were told of the exploits of Moses, their great leader, how he brought the captives from Egypt and led them to the borders of Canaan. But then the women told their children of his inability to enter the land flowing with milk and honey. And when their children heard this, they said, "But mother, why didn't Moses enter the land?" And she very quietly replied, "Because he disobeyed God." And they were teaching the nation of Israel the notion of obedience. Hey, wouldn't that be a great notion to teach our children about? Be obedient, keep your word no matter what. This became a source of instruction, reminding them that honesty with God is the first step to being spiritually healthy. Numbers 30, verse 2, a man who makes a vow to the Lord, who makes a pledge under oath, must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You have choice, you had free will, you could have done anything but this, but you chose to do this. His destiny was determined by his choice. He had free will, and his free will put him in the ground. Just like people have free will, and it's either going to put them in eternity with God or in the lake of fire with Ha-Satan and his angels. We choose. And the result of the choice is not the inevitableness of the law, but it is, according to Oswald Chambers, the inevitableness of God. Either he's a holy God or he's not. So the first challenge for this new church, have you ever thought about this? The first challenge that they had wasn't persecution. That would come. Stephen would get martyred. The first challenge came from within. The first danger to the church came from within fellow believers. Ananias and Sapphira, moved by Ha-Satan. Greed, hypocrisy, deceit, brought right into the house of the Lord, corrupting the purity that the Lord intended. If that's not an example of judgment begins at the house of the Lord, I don't know what is. Matthew 8:15, the Lord said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." We know from 1 Corinthians 5:6, Galatians 5:9, a little leaven, yeast, infects the entire dough if it's allowed. The leaven of the Pharisees is religious compromise. The leaven of Herod is arrogance and pride. And both of these are fatally dangerous to the church. I was thinking about this as I was working on this last portion. I was thinking that this is not just a message to the church, it's a message to the world. I mean, you watch every day the deceit, the fraud, the lying, and it's just people yawn at it now. Oh, another politician lying, I'm so shocked. Change the channel. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be selfless. We're supposed to be transparent. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be conformed. We're supposed to be transformed. And to do that, we must enforce discipline, the discipline of integrity, the discipline of unity and purity. It's not wrong to ask someone to prove a claim that they're making. First of all, don't accept a claim against the brother unless they have gone directly to the brother, and unless you go to that brother or sister. I'm the kind of person that does that. Nobody likes it. I'm the kind of guy that pulls everything out in the open and wants it confronted, and then who do you think becomes the one pushed out and victimized? Me. But that's okay. I'm going to be who I am. I understand there's a cost. I understand that he is holy. I understand that he's my dad, and every now and then he's going to chastise me if he has to. I understand that the price of the upper room is personal integrity, humility, honesty. Integrity leads to honesty. Humility is having the integrity to know the truth even about yourself. We need this right now. We need integrity. We need to stop making excuses. for our behavior, for our actions, for the outcome of our actions. Integrity means an unimpaired condition, soundness, wholeness, a firm adherence to a code of moral values, incorruptible honor, the quality or state of being complete or undivided. What does the Bible say about integrity? Integrity means treating people fairly and honestly. It means giving your word and keeping it. Integrity will protect you. David prayed for integrity and uprightness in Psalm 25, believing that it would protect him. Integrity is more valuable than money, more valuable than riches. You may look at your bank account and say, yeah, I don't know, I want to agree with that one. No, it's true. Money comes and goes. You lose your integrity, it's hard to get back. The Lord is going to test us and judge us by our integrity. The Lord hates lies and lack of integrity. It's going to be difficult, especially in this world, to maintain your integrity. Your character is going to be corrupted by bad company if you keep it. Compromise, that leaven of the Pharisees, that leaven of Herod, slips in very easily. But I'm going to tell you right now, God will reward you if you have integrity. And you will be examples to others, and you don't even know who's watching. Keeping your word, even if it hurts. Standing up for what's right, doing what's right. You may think nobody's watching, and years later you'll find out, hey, brother, I saw what you did. I saw how you did it. It inspired me. It changed me. And then I'll walk away going, well, I didn't even know anybody saw it. Just like lack of integrity, just like greed and dishonesty and deceit, just like that leaven infects everything, I believe integrity spreads too. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe that's not true. I believe it is. But the Lord said in Luke 16:10, he who was faithful with a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who was unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. We could live our whole life on the lessons of the parables and live a perfect life. Romans 12:17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Colossians 3:9 and 10, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Put on the new self as being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Right here, right now on the porch, we're just sitting around on the porch. We're talking. We're doing it the best we can with technology. It'd be great if we were all in the same place at the same time. And it was on a beach somewhere and we could hear the ocean. That's for me is great. That's where my perfect place is. But the point is, we're just talking right now. Is there any area of your life where you said you'd do something and didn't do it, made an excuse for it and figured, oh, God will forgive me, grace, everything's grace? Have you been on the other side of it where somebody said they would do something, they would pay a bill, they would pay you for a service, and they never followed through? You got to let it go. You got to give it up to God. But you also have to see it as an example. That we are dysfunctional. The church is dysfunctional. We have some serious issues. We look so much like the world and very little like him. Maybe that's why Paul said in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. What about honesty? Did you know that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight? Proverbs 12:22. Did you know that there are six things the Lord hates? Yes, seven are an abomination to him. There's that word again. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I'm believing we're on the verge of a change. We're on the verge of a paradigm shift, as I've talked about before. And I think it's going to be both good and bad. I believe judgment's going to begin at the house of the Lord. I think you're going to begin to see some of these big name false teachers and preachers lose their ministries, maybe go to jail for tax fraud or corrupt business dealings, maybe drop dead in the pulpit. I don't know. But I know it's coming. It hit me again this morning, and I shared it with somebody, and he confirmed it. He thought so, too. We're getting ready to see God clean house. I want to be one of those people he looks at and says, I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you keeping your word. I'm proud of you doing what you said you would do. I'm proud of you helping out my children and fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to make my daddy proud. I believe David had that heart. I know he messed up. He had some issues. But I believe he always had a heart for the Lord, and he always wanted to do right, and he was battling with his flesh. He didn't have the ability to be born again. He didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he did the best he could with what he had. And boy, did he pay for it when he messed up. He paid for it in destruction to the kingdom, in loss of life to his servants, to his family, to the mess that he created with his sons. But when you look at Psalm 34 and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, meaning himself, cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones, and none of them is broken. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Choices and consequences. I believe the key to it all is relationship. If the Spirit is in you, you will be convicted by your behavior. I've had times when my flesh has gotten the better of me, and the Spirit is quick to remind me of a scripture or a word or a time before where I was forgiven. But the more we stop up our ears, the more we don't listen. The more we don't put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language, the more that we lie to one another and live out our old ways, the new man, which is supposed to be renewed in the knowledge and according to the image of him, becomes desensitized. We stop hearing the Spirit. We stop feeling the conviction. Our heart is hardened. But we must walk and talk like him. We must be like him. Now, I use that expression about swearing to your own hurt. It's in Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, O Lord, who may enter your presence on your holy hill, those who lead blameless lives, do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand forever. To swear to your own hurt and not chain means you do what you say you're going to do, even if it means that it turns out bad for you. That's what it is. It's a matter of integrity. But see, we live in a society that the compromise of our value, it's okay. There are no absolutes. Everything's relative. Yeah, things happen. Weather changed. I couldn't make it. I overslept. I took a nap. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry you had to move all by yourself. No big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. It's not only a big deal to the mover. It's a big deal to God. Oh, I know I said I was going to pay you back, but I don't have it right now. But I saw on social media you went to the movies. Yeah, my wife and I, we needed to go out. But you got to forgive me, brother. Grace, grace, all is grace. That's not how it's supposed to be. Part of the reason I've been busy, I was wondering where I was going to fit this in. Thank you, Lord. Part of the reason I've been busy is Lord's got me doing something else. It's got me working on a business completely out of my realm of expertise. Can't tell you about it just yet because we haven't gone public. Part of the reason I believe he's doing that is too many people have made promises to fund The Porch or Firefall or the documentary. Too many people have said, hey, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and they barely do X. We're running out of time. Things have to happen. Things that he wants done have to be done. So now what he's doing with me is he's taking me into another arena to get a flow of funds into the kingdom because his people can't keep their word. Which tells me the fact that he's doing this with me, he's reached the end of his rope in regards to letting things go. He's called us to a higher standard. The kingdom of God has the highest standards in the world. It's a standard that transcends the bounds of society, time, and culture. It's a standard based upon the eternal character of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. And it's a standard by which He expects us to live. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, I will praise His word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me. O God, I will render praises to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? That's the Amplified version of Psalm 56, verses 10 through 13. Our God is a God who keeps His promises. Boy, we better be thankful for that. He made a promise from the foundation of the world. He bound Himself with an oath, and that those that would receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. He gave us both his promise and his oath. And that promise was Yeshua, the eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He kept his word. He didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us what we needed because he promised it to us, and his oath is binding. He is our example. So I'm believing that we have entered a time that we must begin to walk and talk in accordance with his standards. His standards of integrity, his standards of righteousness. We must be willing to suffer to keep his promises. And we must be like him. Psalm 22, verse 1. I've read this at funerals. I live by it. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Be held in high esteem is to be better than silver or gold. It's better to have a great name than a great bank account. If we are to walk in the spirit of truth, then we must walk in truth. We've been told that the spirit abides in us. I've always wondered, how do people that say that they're spirit-filled, born again, some of them have REVs before their name and PhDs after their name and every other letter they can possibly think of and plaques on their wall, are some of the most untrustworthy, dishonest people I've ever met. How do you have the spirit of truth in you, but no truth be in you? And I'm not ranting. I'm distressed by what I see. He gave us world-changing, universe-shaking, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which cost him every drop of blood on the cross on Calvary, which cost him so much more than we could have possibly paid. And he gave this to us not to misuse it, abuse it, or corrupt it. He gave us to be a light on the shining on the hill. He gave us to be a beacon to the world that we're different. Well, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I come to you right now in regarding our choices and our consequences. I lay them before you. I ask you to forgive us where we have fallen short, where we have not done what we said we would do, where we've been convinced it's okay. I ask that you bring to our remembrances areas of our life that we must deal with this, and put it under the blood and move forward and take away the advantage from the enemy. But Father, help us. Change us. We want to be blessed. We want to do. We want to go. We want to flow in the Spirit. We want your blessings to flow through us, but we can't do it if you can't trust us. So right now, Lord, wake up your children. Wake up your remnant. Remind them of what they've said and done. Help us, Lord, so that we can do what we need to do for the return of the King. And with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, I pray this and I believe this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you, that you would be the apple of his eye, and that he would give you peace, that he would give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.